Good morning. This morning is an important morning for us as Grace Church, and today, Vision Sunday, a chance really for me to share some of the things that have been on my heart for some time. And this week, I came to write my notes for today, for my sermon this morning, and I had set up my Word document beautifully and put the title at the top and little subheading saying introduction. But getting the first words on the paper are always a bit of a battle. I know students will know what I'm talking about when you're writing an essay. You might have done loads of research, I've read around and kind of largely know what I'm going to say, but it feels like a significant task and not always easy to know where to start. I think similarly, my wife Liz, she likes a list. She'll write a list and spend the time getting the list done. But then it's knowing where to start when the list of jobs is completed. It's kind of the same for any project that we might embark on, having a plan and knowing where to start. In fact, here is what I was staring at. Here's my beautiful document. I was feeling pretty good about having a passage, got that sorted. And I had kind of a reasonable amount of notes elsewhere, knew where I wanted to go, but just struggling to get going. This is often the case when I preach. But the reason I say it today is because it felt like it was particularly the case this week as a significant Sunday for us. And more importantly, it felt this is not just about my sermon, but as I stared at my title and blank page, it felt like it was a pretty good representation of generally where I have been in the last few weeks and months. This is a significant sermon because this is a significant Sunday, significant season for us. I think helpful just to think back 2 years, right? And just remember, none of us saw it coming, what happened, what transpired. Probably a kind of once in a lifetime kind of thing, which has affected the whole world so dramatically. For Grace Church, I think we probably would have anticipated we were entering into a relatively stable season in a good way, but that clearly turned out to not be the case. I don't want to be dramatic, overly dramatic when we think back over the last couple of years, but equally, I don't want to downplay it. And I think it's right that we acknowledge how dramatic it has been. I never would have thought I would live through a time where church would not be meeting for 15, 16 months. Not at all on a Sunday having a meeting. I think it's hard to overstate that significance. And that was 2 years ago. And then a year ago, 2021, we're kind of beginning to talk through when are we going to be coming back to meeting again. And as a church, we went through a significant leadership transition. And it was difficult and sad in many ways, as David, who was leading the eldership team at that point, felt it was right to step back in order to focus on his marriage. And it was difficult, but also God has been faithful. God has been working through everything that's happened to build, I think, even a greater level of love and community among us. So I think right now, I kind of think that's the last couple of years briefly, I don't know what 2022 looks like. I think we've all learned that, right? We don't know how things are going to go. But I do think that we can say that right now is a significant moment in the life of Grace Church as we emerge where we are in light of these things I've just highlighted and many other things. I know that COVID is not behind us just yet, but I think lockdowns are, in terms of church at least, probably that's the case. I'll talk more about that this evening. Come along, we'll talk more about things like that. I think it's safe to say it's a significant, it's a transitional, it is a pivotal moment for the future of Grace Church right now. And as I look at my heading and blank page, it just feels all too familiar. That's where we're at. I think I know what to say. We've discussed that as a team, what kind of church we want to be. I've got notes elsewhere, but staring at a blank page and asking, where do we start in this pivotal moment? What should our focus be as we begin this new chapter in the life of Grace Church? And I want to spend today, really, this morning and this evening, trying to answer some of those questions. And this morning we'll focus on the principles and the values, and this evening we'll look at what that looks like, we'll spend some time worshipping as well. I'm going to read from Colossians 1, verses 3-8, kind of as a launch pad of where I'm preaching, and we'll go from there. So if you've got a Bible, do turn there. It will come up on the screen either way. But Colossians 1, verse 3, Paul is the writer, and he says to the church in Colossae, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit." I've got three things I want to work through this morning that I felt God impress on me as we look to build biblical church family as God intended it into the future. Let me just pray as I get into those. Father, thank you for your grace to us. In everything, we are leaning on you, God, and not our own ability to sail through things. I pray that you would be with us as Grace Church, help us to build a good, healthy church community and family. And I pray that you'd inspire us and draw us in. Give us a sense of joy and purpose as we look to serve you in church community together for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first and probably the most important thing that we feel for Grace Church in this pivotal moment is to keep the main things the main things. I like spy stories, especially the real life ones. Ben McIntyre's written a few last couple of years. I love those stories, kind of talking about the Cold War and how things worked, and radio signals and everything like that, which wasn't that long ago. And I read an article on the BBC News in November, I think, with the guy Richard Moore, who is now the chief of MI6, talking about how the world for spies has changed so dramatically. In fact, this is a photo from the article, which just made me smile. This is a photo of the MI6 HQ in Vauxhall in London. But I like the way it's taken from the bushes. It's very sneaky because it's a picture of MI6. And things that come out, there's a real life kind of Q-like section with all the gadgets and gizmos where all the spies get to show. There's a real thing apparently in MI6, all very exciting. But Richard Moore, the chief of MI6, was talking about how it's all changed, and AI, artificial intelligence, and quantum computing, whatever that is, and digital technology have just totally changed the way spies function. Biometric data, facial recognition, they make false identities very, very difficult, and it's just increasingly digital. And the point that the article was making, he was saying, was that in order for MI6 and spy agencies to stay moving, and they need to stay ahead of the game and constantly innovate. And innovate is kind of a buzz word in all circles, including church. It's a new world that we live in, and there's new ways of doing things. And just as I was reading this article, I just felt, yeah, it's a kind of new world. There's a whole host of things demanding our attention. But as the church, we don't need to innovate, but we need to keep the main things the main things. So what are they? Those opening verses that I read, Colossians 1, 3 to 5, these give the main things, really. Paul says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel." And he says very similarly when he's writing to the Ephesians, he says, "For this reason, ever since I've heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." He knows what the main things are. And he says to the Corinthians, "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." At Grace Church, we do not have new priorities or new things to contend for. It's the same as it has been for 2,000 years. There's not a way where we're reacting to the world that we think, oh, maybe we need to change our priorities. No, we are going to serve Jesus and do church in the same way that church has been doing for centuries. The same priority that really every church should have. So I want us to focus on and grow in faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to be a main thing for us. That we grow in trusting in God, grow in a knowledge of the security of our salvation, and expectation, grow in faith and expectation for him to be moving and working among us, and grow in faithfulness, grow in that sense. That is going to be a main thing for us. We're going to focus on growing in love for all God's people. That's going to be a main thing for us. When I say love, I mean genuine affection. The Bible's got a good amount to say in terms of love, not just being words, but love that leads to action in truth, action and support for one another, love that encourages, love that challenges and does speak truth in love. That's going to be a main thing for us. We're going to focus on and grow in grasping our sure hope, which is the text that says where our faith and our love spring from. That's going to be a main thing. Our confidence as believers is in our future hope, which is sure. That is what sustains us through the storms. That is what helps us to have perspective when we go through storms or whatever we go through, that our perspective is on eternity. We'll suffer for a little while, but we will be with him for eternity. And it's not that we might have more hope in the sense that our chances of victory would increase, because we, in that sense, we can't have any more hope. Our chances of victory in Christ are already certain. It is a sure and certain hope. But it's that we might grow in our understanding of this hope. It's not new information, but it's growing in it. Because they're the main things. And why? Because it's the gospel that bears fruit among us. Verse 6 in the passage says, the message of the true gospel that has come to you, in the same way the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. It's always been the gospel that works and changes things and bears fruit, and it will always be. It's never been anything else. It's not anything else now. Never will be anything else. And it's tempting for us to think, again, particularly in the way the world is now, that, you know, we need some techniques, we need some new ideas, We need some new ways, some new priorities. We need to be innovative in a new and fresh way. And it's tempting as we think, where's Grace Church going, to focus there. But the gospel things, that's what Paul is thankful for, the faith, love and hope. These are gospel things. Paul is thankful for them because they are the main things. They are the things that bear fruit. He says, I always thank God for your faith in Jesus and your love for one another. He doesn't say, I always thank God because I've heard about you're doing a new marriage course and that's great. Or I thank God because I hear you're doing a new prison ministry, which is amazing. I always thank God when I remember you in my prayers because I love your cake and your coffee. It's just so good. Even he doesn't say, I thank God because you're such nice and welcoming people. You've got a great welcome team. All of those things are good. I'm not saying that we're not doing any of those things. We want them, definitely. We want to contend for things like that. But they are not the main things in and of themselves, and they are not what bears fruit. As Grace Church, we want to be fruitful, so we must focus on the gospel, because it is the gospel that bears fruit. I don't want anyone, as I talk these things through and talk them out, I hope you don't mishear me. I'm not anti-creativity. I'm not saying, so if you want to be fresh and innovative, then this is the wrong place. That's not what we're saying. But just saying that I don't want us to be distracted from what the main goal in all of these things are. And from these things, as we look to grow in faith and in love and in hope, that's as we grow in other core things like growing in prayer. We want to do that. We want to grow in community. We want to grow in love for one another. We want to grow in mission. We don't want to give up the mission and stop looking for people to be saved in our communities. We want to grow in that, continue and grow. And in discipleship, we want everyone in Grace Church to be growing in maturity, in the love of the Bible and God's word to us. And everything we do in Grace Church will be to that end, to growing in these things, to keeping the main things. And keep, I think, that word is an important word for us right now. So this is, this, as I've said, is a pivotal moment for Grace Church. Not because, and when I say that, I don't mean because we need to pivot, because we need to change direction. I think we've been going in the wrong direction as a church and we need to pivot in that sense and change. No, I use that word just pivotal in the sense that it is of a high importance in relation to our future, the season we're in right now. These things, in terms of Grace Church, are not new. These are what Grace Church has been built on. Steve Petch and his wife Jo planted Grace Church in 2006 on these foundations, keeping the main things. And then a few years ago, David Thompson took on the leadership of the eldership team from Steve. And if you were around, you may remember he talked about how Steve had kind of set the blueprint, kind of built the foundations of Grace Church. And, you know, he wasn't about to build a different house on those foundations, but keep in line with those foundations. And for the future, now, we're going to carry on in that way. We're not going to build a different house on top of it. We're keeping the main things. So it's not new. But at the same time, when you say to someone, hey, keep going, or, you know, if you've got a child who's getting bored of homeschool or something like that I've been through, keep focused, come on, keep focused, keep in there, keep it up, keep going. We use the word keep because it's worth saying, right? I think it's worth a reminder to us to keep these things, the main things, with all of the distractions that are going out. Come on, keep the main thing. And everything, the other two as well, I'll look at, both also begin with keep. So we'll keep the main things the main things. And also, as we move forward, I want to keep it real in Grace Church. Personally, I welcomed the news that came out this week that from next week we won't need to wear face masks in church. It won't be mandatory anymore. And just to confirm that in Grace Church we won't be mandating them. But again, we've said many times, let's keep a culture of grace among us, whereby we're not judging anyone for wearing a mask if they choose to, or not wearing a mask if they choose not to. Again, I'll touch a bit more on that this evening. But I'm keen to not wear a mask next week. But I am also keen to do what we can to not be wearing, you know, metaphorical masks either in the life of Grace Church, where we, you know, whether we put on a face mask or not, a physical one, we come to church and we have to mask up because we have to get our... We have to look our best. You don't want people to see the real me. You don't want people to see, because I'm a mess, right? So I need to suit up and look good, because that's what we do when we come to church. No, we want to have a culture where we're not wearing proverbial masks, at least, but are able to be real, to be honest and vulnerable with one another. We're not pretending we've got everything together, but a culture of honesty. The Apostle Paul, right? So, an impressive guy. Paul wrote a lot of the New Testament, did a lot of amazing things for God. He kind of sets the tone when he talks about his own experiences. He's writing to the Corinthians. He says this in the first chapter. He says, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself." This is honesty. "Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." That is extreme, right? That what Paul is saying. He is being very, very honest, very raw about his experience, very real. He is keeping it real in the truest sense. And this is the Paul, like amazing Paul, did loads of things, and he's honest. And he gives a reason, which is so insightful. Why do we need to do this? Why do I need to be honest? Why do we have to go through these things? The reason is so we don't rely on ourselves, but we keep relying on God. If you read into this, it's kind of a profound reality that Paul is touching on. Been through real difficulty, this guy. And he's saying, you know, God allowed, even God ordained the difficulty that he had been through, the troubles, for that reason. With the view to making sure Paul doesn't end up relying on himself, but he keeps relying on God. I loved last week the Stories of Grace Sunday that we did. And that's kind of set the tone for what I'm talking about here, of honesty about our troubles. No one got up and just talked about how their life is fine and easy. This is really something we are trying to step into as elders, as brothers together, and as fathers. You know, as elders, you can often think, wow, elders, we are not special or super holy, just like Paul wasn't. And we need to be real and honest. Let me be honest now, okay? I don't really like honesty. I don't want to be vulnerable about my struggles or about my sins, things that I don't want to be honest. I want to wear a mask, right? I want to make people think, yeah, no, I am super holy. I don't want to be honest. But if we want a culture that is gospel-centered, it's just not an option. We have to be honest. I'm very conscious that creating a culture often, you know, does start with leaders. So again, here we go, some more honesty. If you look about where we're going, I, Joe Leach, don't know what I'm doing, right? I have not got the skill set to figure it all out, to nail it all together. Yeah, I feel like I know what the Bible says and what biblical gospel priorities are, but I don't know exactly how to make that happen. Conscious of my video, but don't tell anyone. I don't know what the future holds. We said that at least. I don't know what I'm doing. But I am trusting God, right? I do believe that he has called me personally into what I'm doing, to lead the eldership team of Grace Church. And so I believe that he will equip me to do what he has called me to do. And I want to stay in that place of not relying on myself, but relying on God. As Paul says, I want to stay in a place where I'm saying, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm leaning on God and trusting him. Do help me, right? Pray for me as I try and navigate this. We are a community together, and we want to constantly all be relying on God and not on ourselves. Keep it real with honesty and vulnerability. And also, as we do move forward as Grace Church, we do want to leave time to grieve and process where we've been, what we've been through, what has happened. I think, again, touched on the little highlight like last 2 years, we need to acknowledge the toil and what the effects of the last 2 years will be on us, and not be surprised that they have affected us, that they have been things that we've struggled with. We can't pretend it hasn't, to have not gone to church and been able to gather as God's people for so long. Of course that's going to make serving Jesus difficult. We're meant to be part of a church community. And again, it doesn't come naturally to me to do that, to allow time. I want to get on with the future. Right, let's move on, okay? It's happened, let's just deal with it, let's go forward. But I think we all know when we're in the thick of something, when you're going through something in your life, whatever, if you've been through a difficult time in your life, which you will have, you just get on with it when you're in it. And people kind of ask, man, how are you still going, what you're going through? You think, well, what else am I going to do? What choice do we have? And we have all been through these 2 years together. Not going to church, coming, when we did come back, we were wearing masks. We were social distancing. I mean, that social distancing is unhealthy, right? It is exceptional. I'm not saying it shouldn't have happened, but distancing socially is a... I mean, get your head around this. It was illegal to hug your mum. That would have been breaking the law. We really lived through that. We just lived through a time where that was the case. And we'll process it differently as we move forward, but we only really can process it once we are beginning to come out of it. And we're going to leave space for that in Grace Church. Church is broken people next to broken people, trying to help one another and to be agents of transformation in one another's lives. And that's not going to work if we're not being real. So we're going to keep it real. And in that vein, we're trying very hard, and it is not easy, but we're trying very hard to keep things simple as we move forward in this key moment. In lockdown, when we weren't meeting, we were just surviving and sustaining and getting through, and as leaders kind of making things happen. Occasionally, we'd have moments where we'd be like, hang on, let's take a step back and think about what we are learning through this and what might change when we do come back. To be honest, I think not a great deal in terms of Sundays, in line with everything I said. Well, we keep the main things, we keep worshipping, we keep hearing the word of God preached, we keep gathering and enjoying community together, discipling our kids, all of that. But one thing that was clear was that the slower pace of life that lockdown brought felt right. It felt good to not be rushing around and for life to be crazy. And again, I think since in the last 6 months, it's kind of been tough getting used to life with a diary again and having to figure things out and a bit more of the busyness again. But of everything that we learn, I think that slower pace is something that we are looking, we think, no, I think that was a good thing. We want to keep that. And Jesus seems to encourage this. He says in Matthew 11, very famously, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light," says Jesus. He seems to encourage this kind of idea. It's not easy when the culture around us is saying, fast is good, slow is bad. Go for it. Busyness is a badge of honour. You want to be busy. That's what it means to be important. No, I think a bit slower is actually how Jesus wants us to be. Not stressed, not rushing around, leading hectic lives. He gives us rest. We want church to reflect the rest that Jesus offers. And so in contrast to crazy lives, we are aiming for not hectic, but manageable and consistent rhythm with what we do as a church. I think God has created the world with consistent rhythm, right? Every day you wake up and the sun comes up. God doesn't think, oh, I might keep it fresh today and I won't send the sun up. I'll just keep the moon and it'll be dark and we'll just keep it fresh, you know? We're just coming out of winter. Maybe I'll mix up the seasons this year. We'll go straight from winter to autumn and, you know, got to be different and innovate. God is a God of rhythm in many ways. And it's the same every day, every single year. I think in a sense we want to build Grace Church in a similar way. We want the diary to try and keep things rhythmic and simple. Again, not anti-creativity, not anti that, but just pro-simplicity. And I think as we do that, as we try and keep things simple, it will help with the other two. John Mark Comer, a writer, says helpfully on this, it says, think about it. What's the highest value in Christ's kingdom economy? Right, what's the main thing? We kind of covered this. He says, easy, love. We got it right. Jesus made that crystal clear. He said the greatest commandment in all of the Torah was to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, followed only by love your neighbor as yourself. But he says, but love is painfully time-consuming. All parents know this as the lovers and most long-term friends. Love is patient. If love is a main thing for us as Grace Church, we need to make sure that we're not going too fast. I think a crazy pace and complicated lives are incompatible with keeping the main things the main things. So here's how this will look with kind of simple rhythm. I know it's more possible for some than others to achieve these things. But generally, being part of Grace Church is going to look like this. And to get the most out of being part of Grace Church will mean Sunday mornings and one evening in a week. It'll look like this. Here's a little illustration. So 1 week will be life group. We want to give a lot of focus again to that, continued focus. And that'll be whatever night that is in a group. And then 1 week we'll have a Sunday evening thing, the following week, where we'll come and worship. We'll come and pray together. We're going to keep going through half term and things like that, some slightly different things. Someone's done this graphic and someone's birthday. There's refreshments if you're on the road or something like that. But it's a pretty simple structure is the goal. And that'll be it, 2 weeks. So life group 1 week, next week, a Sunday evening thing. I don't know if this makes sense at all, but hopefully it will become increasingly clear and familiar and rhythmic. We'll talk a bit more about it again tonight. A couple of disclaimers on it. I don't want to overwhelm anyone with our diary. We really want to keep it simple. I don't want to give the impression, you know, we just don't think church is that important. So just, I don't want to, you know, make a big deal of it. No, I want to encourage you to give yourself to your church community and to get involved in church. But we want to keep that simple. You know, there'll be more for leaders. That's just part of the gig of leaders, it won't be quite as simple as that. And we'll, of course, do other things on top of that, men's ministries, women's ministry, and various other events, like a prayer breakfast on Saturday. But that's the bare bones, and we will keep it largely to that, keeping it simple. There we go, right? Significant moment for us as a church. Feel free to hold us as leaders accountable to these things. We all need the reminder, right? If you think we're not doing any of them, come along to Grace Centre this evening as we're going to come and we're going to worship together. Some family news. There's more detail on how this is all going to work. But do come along. And let me be clear on this with all that I've just said. I am really excited for the future. I think having a kind of a blank page, a blank canvas, can be overwhelming, but also it means we live in really exciting times. One more keep for you, just to round it up. Let's keep expectant. Our God has all ordained the last couple of years. Our God did it. You know, I don't know his purposes, but he has them. God is sovereign over it. And what was true for the Colossians is true for us. Let me read verse 6 again. It says, "The gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace." God has worked through Grace Church. Honestly, I think this is an exciting time to be alive. The gospel has been working through us, and it will continue to work. Let's keep our expectation high. Let's expect God to work through us. And as we stay focused on his gospel, my encouragement is to believe and to expect his gospel to bear fruit in your lives and the lives of those around us.